Hey, I'm back. Another episode of George's Thoughts, episode 4 on this September 27th, Thursday. Got a pretty fun show today. It's nice to be back. Been tinkering around with this project for a while, and as you may have heard, it crashed on my episode 3, so I had to rebuild it all from scratch. But still in the iOS device, still recording, producing, publishing, all kinds of fun stuff in my little gizmo. And we continue on. So I was nervous I was going to have to go over to the PC and start rebuilding this project. But in part, this project is really determined to get it all done from a little handheld device, a whole production studio off of a couple little iOS gizmos. I love it. I got a couple stories today. Scientists have possibly, or for the first time, astronomers have measured the radius of a black hole. A very cool story. I've got a story on 3D printers and a story on organic photovoltaic modules, organic solar panels. I've also got a special interview I'm bringing in today. My first interview on George's Thoughts. I'm very excited about it, so I'll have a guest. It's a pre-recorded interview, mind you. We haven't done a live one as of yet, but that is soon to come. So let's get started in the news here. Let's see. Researchers have announced world record efficiency for organic photovoltaic modules. You'll find this article here on... who did this one come from? I'm pretty sure this is a PhysOrg. You'll find the site or the link on my Tumblr blog, ibgeorge.tumblr.com. What they got going on here is a serious efficiency increase. These organic solar panels don't have near as much dependency on the angle of light. They can be slapped onto buildings, translucent, so they can be used as windows or other apparatuses on buildings. These little buggers have been under development for quite a while, but apparently they've made some major strides. They've got a world record certified efficiency of 5.5%. An optimum performance at a module level is a crucial step towards upscaling the production process and successful commercialization. Now, 5.5% doesn't sound like a ton compared to the silicone modules. I could be mistaken, but in the organic world, this is quite a huge breaking point. And they last longer as well. So I don't know that they're regenerative, but I can see some futures for this technology where your current solar cells made from the silicon and standard multi-layer, these things break down. Their efficiencies, they lose their efficiency over time. You know, these people spend thousands of dollars to equip their houses with solar panels that really may only have a relatively short shelf life of efficiency. I can see a future coming here where these organic modules will be able to decorate and be functional pieces of buildings. They're cheaper to produce, and potentially someday they may be able to regenerate, being organic and all. It gives them the opportunity to utilize some of those systems. I love it. I think solar panels, solar energy, wind energy, alternative energies, anything that can make your household or business or projects more self-sufficient, independent, I think that's a good thing for everyone. All right, moving on here. We got a story on the first time astronomers have measured the radius of a black hole. Holy mackerel. Now, this article goes into a ton of detail about how they've zoomed in. It tells you about the event horizon. It tells you a whole bunch of components that we've now understood about black holes. But the thing that really got me was really what this, how they like back, reverse engineered what they're able to see to determine the size of the black hole. Now, long story short, they dug into this black hole's M87. It's got a jet magnetically launched from it, and by analyzing this jet of material that's coming out of it at very high zoom, they're able to model basically where this jet came from. And it's theorized that it launched from its smallest orbit, so that event horizon where matter is just superheated and the point of no return is where this jets begin to radiate from the black hole. This is the way I understand it. Anyway, they take and are reverse engineering this jet. They're following the magnetic patterns backwards to a origin. And this is how they're theorizing the radius of a black hole, something that can't even be seen. The light can't even escape from it. Now, of course, the scientists are very excited. It's always about whether they can prove the general, you know, the Einstein's theory of general relativity. So they've got a whole bunch of that going on as well. But when it boils down to it, I think we're talking about serious creativity when it comes to unraveling the mysteries of our universe. It's amazing. You know, you look at it in such awe. I think it's just, it would be less than respectful not to try and find out what the radius of a black hole is. And the methods that they're using here, I thought were amazing and very creative. And the science to come in the futures, it's just going to constantly keep me excited, keep me reading, and getting on here and sharing with you some little tidbits. Again, check out the blog, though. You'll get a full article on it. These guys spend a lot of time to write it. I spend a short amount of time giving my thoughts on it. So take a peek at their actual articles. They've got some really, really interesting information. Now, on that note, I want to bring in a guest here. I got an interview. I took over the weekend. I'll be interviewing my son. He's almost 5 years old. And he's going to be the leading authority on preschool today and give us an interview on his take on his first few days in preschool. So I'm here with Jonathan today, and he's here to tell me about his first day of preschool, his first week of preschool, rather. So Jonathan, say hi to the crowd.
Hi.
Now, what do you remember most about your first day of preschool?
Sitting on the rug for a long time, then we could play.
What'd you play?
With Legos and foam and blocks.
Oh, nice, nice. So you sat on the rug a long time and you played with Legos and blocks.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good time. What else did you do at preschool?
I kind of didn't get to go out and play on the preschool park because it was wet.
Oh, wet. Well, that'd be Washington State for you. It's always wet up here. Did you guys draw anything or do any coloring?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. What'd you draw?
Chickens, bears, bees.
Oh, you got the color of those?
Yeah.
Oh. Now, what about numbers or letters? Did you do any of those? Shed some light on the situation here. There we go. All right. Did you do any number or letters?
Yeah.
Well, what number did you do?
One.
The number one. All right. Well, that's a success all on its own. Very good.
One bear and one chicken and one bee.
Oh, you colored one of each, and you drew the number one. But you got to see the new playground, didn't you?
Yeah.
Now tell me a little bit about your teacher.
She's nice, and she kind of lets me sit on the rug.
Oh, nice. I got it. I'll hold the mic. I'm the interviewer. So,
well,
what's your teacher's name?
Mrs. Swanson.
Oh, do you guys sing any songs? I don't know. What's the other person's name?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll just say Mrs. Swanson's the head teacher in charge then. And do you sing any songs?
Yeah.
What song did you sing? Why don't you give us a little clip?
It is a sunken. What do we sing?
Oh, that's very nice. Well, thanks again for the interview. You are the professional of the preschool generation, and we do appreciate your commentary and input on preschool in today's age.
Okay.
That's the end, yeah. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. And there we have it, my very first interview. I couldn't have been prouder. He got right into that, and hammed it up just like his dad. So he also did an interview of me. That's not something I have in the show here, but maybe one of these days I'll just dump it on the blog so those who are entertained can listen to it. He had to be the interviewer, of course, since, you know, I had a chance. All right, so moving to the last story of the show, one of my favorites. Stumbled across an article that always on a topic that tickles my fancy, 3D printers. A group, I don't have the article here in front of me, but it is, again, on my blog. There's a group that used a 3D printer to print out a model of a ancient mollusk, a little thorny, little tiny critter that lived long, long, long ago. Awesome little thing. And they printed this out, 3D printer, made themselves an anatomically correct model so that they believe anyway. Which, you know, is going to give them some insight into this little critter. Something that we can't do just by digging up a fossil. a lot of damage occurs. So by restructuring this into a model that we can analyze generally, of course, there's some concepts we're just never going to be able to pull off of a historical and fossil evidence. Maybe genetic evidence one day will give us enough information to model a critter. But the most important thing in my world was they used a 3D printer. I can't say how bad I want one of those babies. But apparently there's an open source world going with those Adreno chips, and there's a whole website devoted to things. It's just a massive community. You can put together a 3D printer in your own backyard for just barely under $2,000. Still outside of my budget, but getting closer there. Most of the 3D printing they do in the small scale and the open source world is all done with plastics, and you know, the layer upon layer and printing it out in a three-dimensional design. Kind of like the combination of a plotter. And if you've never heard of them before, a 3D printer is basically two plotters in one that construct an object instead of being flat on paper. They construct it in 3D by one tiny layer at a time, stacking these plastic layers together. Pretty much the use for those is unlimited. I can think of a million and one things, from making a screw to making a tiny little widget that is going to fix a kid's toy, you know, one of those transformer arms, a knob on your kitchen cupboard. You know, you can match your existing knobs without having to go find that specialty knob or go replace all your knobs. Of course, in my world, I can build every little gizmo I can think of just for doing it's sake. So in the future, someday, I will hopefully have a 3D printer and we'll start a whole new segment on my show of what widget can I make today. But that's for another show. Check it out on my blog, ibgeorge.tumblr.com. I'm really grateful you all listened. Thanks for letting me ramble on about my thoughts, and I hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned, there's more shows to come. Sorry I was on such a long hiatus, but took a little time to recoup from life and get my show put back together on a format loss. At any rate, y'all stay tuned, and see you next time. ¶¶